I know I like this saying. It's been around a long time. The old timers would say it's all over, but the crying and the wiping. And I like it because, yeah, things have changed. There may be some crying, there may be some wiping, but I think there's a lot of pulling up the bootstraps and getting to work, because as we see a red wave maybe not materialize, had a little blue in it, maybe it may turn that red wave into a pink sort of splash. I don't know. But what does it say about where this country's going to move forward? And we'll talk about that today. Give us a call. It's Open Phones. And Drew Lozowski and Adam Brandon with us today on Voices.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today, 866-627-5483, or text the comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Slicing and dicing it today, and would love to hear from you, your thoughts on it. We're going to get things started off. Drew Lozowski is with us again, as we chatted with him yesterday, and it seems fair to kind of come back around and follow up. Drew, of course, Apex Consulting principal there, and as we have talked with him, you know, poker player, likes to shoot at the big game every now and again, a sixth-generation Montanan. And then let's welcome Drew first. Good morning, Drew. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Tom. How are you today?
Hanging in there. Got enough sleep last night to where the coffee's going to kick in, and we'll put our thinking hats on. Let's also welcome Adam Brandon. It's a pleasure to welcome Adam here. Adam is the president of Freedom Works, and I love this saying, Adam, this mission statement here, or, you know, government fails, but freedom works. Appreciate right. you being here. Good morning, sir.
Well, thanks very much for having me, and I'm calling you from looking at the Capitol out of my window right now, and the sun did come up after all.
And I know Drew likes that one as well. I don't know if you've met Drew Lozowski from Apex Consulting, but thank you guys both for being here. It's just kind of to talk about what our impressions are, and then we'll kind of get into the numbers a little bit as well. Adam, Freedom Works, why don't you tell us about Freedom Works? I know you guys have been around an awful lot. It's one of those grassroots organizations that, is trying to put put sort of the mess where it belongs and try to move forward on a lot of issues.
Oh, and I've got a lot of opinions on what the mess is, and there's lessons to learn. And, you know, I remember a football coach growing up who always says, you always learn more in your losses than your W's. And so... What Freedom Works is, first of all, yeah, we do grassroots. If you want to get involved in the process, you're tired of complaining at the television, we want to try and plug you into the system to do some things, either help with candidates or help with legislation. People underestimate the power of a phone call to your local legislator. It's the most powerful tool in our arsenal in our republic, and so we want to make sure people are using those tools.
Very good. It's freedomworks.org for more information. Let's just start off with this, and then Drew, follow up, please. How would you describe the election results from yesterday, Adam?
Not good. I mean, is it a complete loss? I still think GOP will take the House. It's looking like you're going to end up with 50-50 in the Senate, which I got to be honest, that's not good. I think when there's a lot of information I'm sitting on, and I got to sort through this, but a poll a couple weeks ago I took internally at Freedom Works set the alarm off. And that was, while most voters were looking at things such as inflation, which should be a GOP vote, they weren't connecting that with policy. They weren't connecting that with solutions. And I've been writing for the past year that the GOP needs kind of a contract with America. And Senate Majority Leader, I don't even know what he is going to be now, but Leader Mitch McConnell blatantly refused to have any kind of nationalization of the campaign. And what Kevin McCarthy came out with was just a bunch of platitudes. And I look back on it, it didn't show a difference. You didn't show the voters that, yes, we see your issues and we see your concerns, but here's our plan of what to do about it. And the issueless campaign, growing up, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, and I've watched a lot. Everyone knows this concept called a prevent defense, where you give up chunks of yard, keep the ball in front of you, but you give up a lot. And I think that's what our defense did. We gave up a lot of yards that we didn't need to. We should have been on offense, not on defense last night.
Drew.
Yeah, I mean, all those are all great points, Adam, and I agree with many of those. I think one of the things that we lost with is on inflation. Around 50% of people polling last night are showing that they believe that inflation was not caused by the Biden administration and the COVID shutdown. So there's some messaging problems there that Republicans were having, and that's going to have to be addressed because inflation is not going to get better. It's only going to get worse for the near future. I think what we also saw is, particularly here on the East Coast and, of course, in Nevada, is there were problems with the way people were voting. We saw problems in Maricopa County. There was a lot of issues with the machines. There was people standing in line. Of course, here in Montana, we're having problems with precincts coming in. We shouldn't be having these kind of problems, in my opinion, whereas we saw in Florida, in the governor's race and those races there, they wrapped that up last night and tied a bow on it. It was fairly quick. I don't understand why the other states aren't doing that.
Rosendale for Montana did win in the Eastern District. It's still undecided in the Western District. They've got like what they believe to be about 92% of expected votes, and Ryan Zinke right now ahead by 8,000 votes, which is almost 50% to 47%. To 46.3%. We'll have more on that. We're following that as we continue here. Adam Brandon, again, president of FreedomWorks.org, or FreedomWorks.org to find that. As Drew had mentioned, Florida, I think there are a lot of people talking about how Florida really, really moved the numbers, but that did not translate across the country. Your take on that scenario?
Goes back to what I said about a clear vision. It's Ron DeSantis has done an incredible job in the height of the pandemic. He fought to keep Florida open and was proven right on so many of his policies. He's proving through legislation, through policies that he supports, of a vision that contrasted him very clearly to his Democratic challengers in the state. And he won by a 20-point spread. That should be the model. And frankly, he addressed issues that people in Florida cared about. And if you look around the country, I think that should be a lesson. Again, going back to, if you're going to win an election, don't just count on the other guy screwing up. You got to put something out there that shows what you are for. And DeSantis did an excellent job in his state of doing that.
Drew, do we see that across the country? Now, I know there's some question about the strength of some candidates. And did this election prove what I think we've always known, that as they say, all elections are local?
Well, of course, all elections are local. I mean, we're seeing that in Montana right now. And you got to have decent and excellent candidates that can relate to the constituencies that they're in, the districts that they're running in. We saw... I think it hasn't played out yet, but in the next few days and weeks, we're going to see the candidates that were backed by Trump versus those that weren't and how they played out exactly and if that was a factor. In Montana, I think we're seeing that now. Of course, Ryan Zinke was supported and endorsed by President Trump, and so we're seeing that is going to be a very tight race. But yes, elections are all local, and people need to remember that. I was just on the phone with several folks in the state. Very depressed today. Don't understand what's going on in Georgia. Don't understand what's going on in Arizona. And I said, well, that's because you don't live there. We live in Montana. And so politics in our states is not exactly the same in those states. So you got to remind yourself of that.
Is Drew, I appreciate that. Again, it's Drew Lazofsky, Montanan, sixth generation principal at Apex Consulting, and Adam Brandon with us here, president of FreedomWorks, freedomworks.org, for more information. 6 million people in that grassroots activist organization. Adam, what is going on in Georgia? Again, all things are pointing to there's going to be a runoff race there, just like there was 2 years ago, and that is going to determine the fate of the Senate.
Probably. You got to cross over 50%, and both gentlemen are in the 40, like the 49-point whatever range right now.
Yep.
But the rules have changed. It used to be the runoff was in January, and now the runoff is in December. And remember, we have this thing called Thanksgiving coming up, which basically America shuts down for almost a week during that time period. I mean, good luck door knocking on someone while they're cooking Thanksgiving dinner. So what that, and travel for holidays. So what that, it's going to be a very short turnaround. And what that means is that it should probably more, I mean, if you look at how well Republicans did in the state overall, Walker is somewhat underperforming, which actually should mean in a runoff situation that gives him the advantage. But all eyes are going to turn there. And I know people are exhausted and people have spent time calling and texting and raising money and this and that. It's not over, unfortunately. And there's probably going to be a couple of House seats and other seats that are going to be too close to call. And there, unfortunately, be some litigation involved with some of these races. So I wish the elections, when I was growing up, elections were over on election night. And yeah. I sure wish that was the way they were today.
Yeah. And so, I don't, you know, honestly, I don't care how long they take as long as they are. I'd even go 99.99% secure. But that I know if they drag out, then there's that risk of a potential fraud. And I know they're
want lawyers deciding who wins and loses elections in America. That is a dagger at the heart of our republic if that's where we're going.
Let me ask this question first of you, Adam, and then Drew. Drew's going to be with us for a while. Adam's just got a few more minutes here. Did former President Trump go from being the big man at the rally to the big elephant in the room now when it comes to elections?
I'm very curious with his strategy going after DeSantis in the last week or so.
Yeah.
If I was advising President Trump, I would say treat him like your little brother, treat him like your protege, be positive about him and bring him in close. If you're going to get into a campaign with him, that's how I would take it. But the President Trump's had this history of, I guess you'd say, punching down. And so, you know, he's taking some shots at DeSantis when DeSantis clearly was your biggest winner on the night. So, I spoke with a couple people who are close to Trump world, and they're kind of scratching their heads a little bit here on some strategy. But I would never count Donald Trump out. But I think he's going to definitely have to recalibrate his message with Ron DeSantis and do it quickly.
I was really disappointed in that language that came out of the former president there as well. We'll talk more about that as we go forward. Drew, your comments on that, from the big man in the rally now to the big elephant in the room.
I appreciate that. I think the biggest problem here is that when former President Trump came out and announced that he was going to have an announcement November 15th and people were going to be very happy with it, I think we're going to see, I don't know this yet, but I think the statistics will show us that independent voters, particularly in tight races like Pennsylvania, broke for the Democrat because they know that Trump is a controversial candidate and they're looking for peace. They're looking for something other than a constant battle on TV. And so I think that most likely hurt some candidates and potentially could have even hurt in Georgia.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that. We're going to open up the phones here as well. Adam, another minute for you. And again, thank you for your time. Appreciate that. And you're welcome back here.
I want to come back to Montana. It's the most beautiful state I know. So let me get in studio next time. All right.
Yeah, do. Please do. And then we'll take you to our favorite secret hunting spots, which
there we go.
Yeah. But you'll have to be blindfolded. how does this set the stage for the next 2 years? And maybe this is a longer question. We can take some time here for the next 2 years and then the election at the end of the next 2 years.
You've got real problems facing real American families right now. I know I gave this great example of my wife was cooking lamb for some friends that were coming over. And I come home, instead of having the lamb ribs, she had the lamb shank, and she was butchering it up. And I was like, well, I thought you were making this other dish. And she's like, honey, that was costing $20 a piece. Dinner would have been $80. I'm butchering this lamb because I got this for half price. And it was amazing to see in real life, you know, my wife making situational changes based on how much food was costing. When, you know, we kind of got into a, here's what we normally buy at the grocery store. So that's a situation that happened in our house that is happening all across the country. And whether it's gas prices, which will go up again, whether it's food prices, whether it's more problems in Ukraine, we are facing real problems. And what has to happen is that obviously the Biden administration will set the tone for the Democrats, But someone needs to, and by someone, I'm looking at either the next speaker, which would probably be Kevin McCarthy, but I wouldn't bet on that, or Governor DeSantis from his higher perch, really has to be showing what Republicans stand for and focus in on it and focus in on those issues that are hitting people at the kitchen table. The kitchen table economics are what are going to shape the next cycle.
And I appreciate that. Drew, why don't you stand by, unless you have a real quick a follow-up you wanted to add there.
The only thing I would add to that brilliant statement was, is we have to make sure that voters understand it's the Biden administration's fault and not the war in Ukraine and other worldwide calamities that are going on.
Yeah, messaging so vital. Adam, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Let's get together again, okay?
Sounds great. Really enjoyed it. You gentlemen, always remember, there's good cycles and there's bad cycles, but if you get out of the fight, you're guaranteed to lose. We just got to learn from what happened and we move forward.
Yeah, excellent stuff from Adam Brandon again. He left. He doesn't get to hear us say, let's go, Adam. President of FreedomWorks, again, freedomworks.org. Drew Lisofsky is going to stay with us here. We'll come on back and get into some of these numbers in these Montana races as yet undecided still, but in a pretty good position is Ryan Zinke versus Monica Trinnell in the Western District. More on Voices in a bit.
As we pay tribute to our nation's heroes during Veterans Month, AARP Montana wants to thank all those in uniform, along with their families, for their service and sacrifice. As a way of expressing gratitude for defending our freedom, AARP has set up a special free resource site dedicated to Montana veterans and military families. Because veterans often face a unique set of challenges as they age or retire. Find this special free resource site online at aarp.org/mtvets.
Welcome back here. It's from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana. And we'd love to hear from you as well. If you've got some thoughts, 866-627-5483. Or 781-627-5483. Again, a red wave, which I didn't necessarily, if I said I put a lot of faith into it, that it was going to happen. I always hedge my bets when it comes to elections, so to speak, or keep my powder dry on a lot of things. I've heard it called a red splash. I'm going to call it a pink splash here because there is some blue sprinkling and maybe not so odd places, but where... The GOP felt like they had opportunities. Again, you're looking at the Senate race in Washington. You're looking at the Michigan State House, Arizona as well, which is yet to be decided. I'm not overly, and Drew Lisofsky is with us again from Apex Consulting. I'm not really overly surprised or even disappointed, Drew. I think we had to definitely turn one Congress. I'd like more of a balanced government. And I think we definitely had to turn the House of Representatives, which that would be a mission accomplished in that regard. Don't make politics a religion. But nonetheless, what are people still taking away from this?
Well, I think there's a shell shock in Washington, D.C. that people are just starting to come to some and formalizing some realizations about what does this all mean. I don't think we exactly know it at this moment. But when you look at the three races I mentioned yesterday, which were Abigail Spanberger, she was a +6. Elaine Lura, who was a +2 for Biden, if we could pick those off and we could pick off the +6s and then we could go higher, it was going to indicate that we had a big wave. Unfortunately, in VA-10, which is Jennifer Wexton around D.C., she won pretty handedly. So that's going to tell us that the wave wasn't going to be 6 feet high. We did win the districts that were +2, which was indicating exactly what we talked about yesterday, Tom, which was if we got to win those if we're going to take the House. We've won a good percentage of those +2 Biden districts. And so we're projected the U.S. House of Representatives is projected to go to the Republicans. VA-7, which was Abigail Spanberger, she won, and that was warning bells were going off in every political circle here in D.C. when we couldn't pick off, the Republicans couldn't pick off Abigail. So what does this all mean? I think what we're seeing, Tom, is the places that Trump lost in the last election, and we're talking Florida now, and that DeSantis won. Let's remember that when DeSantis won in his last election, he won by 30,000 votes in a spread of millions of people. This election, Tom, he won with 1.5 million more votes than his opponent. Like Adam was saying, we have to look at the messaging, the path forward that DeSantis had, and what is he saying that we need to start replicating across the fruited plain.
Did you hear his acceptance speech last night?
I did. I stayed up till way past 2 a.m. I thought we are seeing a new leader emerging within the Republican Party. I listened to Governor Glenn Youngkin here in Virginia yesterday. He was making the rounds on all the political talk shows. He, too, sounds like a voice that I think is going to be carried forward in the next presidential election. So I think we're seeing a divide here. I think something is happening within the party that we can't quite quantify it yet, but I think people are signaling that they want a newer, fresher face running for president than former President Trump.
Well,
I don't know that yet,
yeah.
But I think that's where we're heading.
Well, and as I look at a lot of reactions from last night, and I mentioned this like several months ago, I don't know how long exactly, you know, where they were pinning, they being the mainstream misleadia, they were pinning candidates as Trump candidates. This Trump candidate won, this Trump candidate lost, and even, you know, even the GOP and the Dems were doing, and I just thought that was the wrong approach, because they obviously the Trump label carries a lot of weight, but it also, there's a lot of baggage to it too.
Well, it carries a lot of weight with strong Republicans, people who are, you know, truth, freedom, and the American way here. Unfortunately, Trump is not winning middle-class white women voters. He's not winning necessarily the independents. We're seeing a slip there. And that is something that's going to have to be calculated in the days, weeks, and months to come. And he's going to potentially make an announcement in a couple days, and it's going to be interesting to see how that reverberates, particularly in Georgia, where he weighed in on that race when he was president, and folks believe that his involvement cost us that seat in Georgia.
Yeah. I mentioned that too. Very disappointed in that. I'm behind for this news break, and they won't leave us much time on the other side, but still lots to talk about. Drew Lozovsky is with us here as we slice and dice the results that we know from yesterday.
Over the last 160 years, the people of BNSF Railway have played a central role in settling and growing the American West. And BNSF Railway is looking for more people to fill positions across Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, and South Dakota. Available positions include welders, conductors, mechanical, and track maintenance. Multiple locations are eligible for sign-on bonuses. Help keep the U.S. economy moving. See more and go further. Apply at jobs.bnsf.com.
All right. Push myself up against the next break, but let's get a question here and then call us if you like. If you've got some comments at 866-627-5483, the text message at 781-627-5483. Slicing and dicing, Drew Lozovsky is with us. Drew, I asked our previous guest, Adam Brandon, about, you know, how does this set the stage? I'm thinking legislatively as well over the next 2 years, but how does it really set the stage for what's on the other side, that election in 2024?
Well, it sets the stage for currently right now we're going to have divided government. So you're going to see a stalling of the Biden agenda, and you're going to see a stalling of the Republican agenda. So both sides are going to have to come together in order to, you know, govern. And so what that's going to lead to is the run up to the next presidential election. You're going to have both sides blaming each other for this quagmire that has been created because of the midterms.
That's voters, the last thing I want.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that is what people voted for, and that's the government that they're going to get. Not much, if anything, is going to actually get done legislatively that's going to improve your life. But on the tip side, they're not going to be able to legislate issues that are going to cause more problems for consumers and voters in Montana.
Who do you think, well, we don't have time for this, but I'll pose it and then we'll come on back. Who do you think leads the House of Representatives after this? I bet you have thoughts on that.
I have thoughts on that.
All right. Stand by. Drew Lisofsky is with us as we go back over it. Election 2022 here on Voices of Montana.
In ag, family is more than just family. They're a support system and the hardest workers in your operation. You know them better than anyone else, and you can tell when something just isn't right. Maybe it's more time alone in the tractor or less talk around the dinner table. If you notice a change, it's important to talk about it. Make mental health a priority in your family and show them that they're not alone. For resources and free counseling access for Montana Ag, visit beyondtheweather.com.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz.
Thank you for being here. Tomorrow, John Olson's going to join us. He's a Shad veteran. We'll explain more about that as we look at getting into Veterans Day. And, of course, it's Veterans Month. I'll have a special announcement here from AARP Montana shortly as they're honoring veterans across the state this month. Tom Schultz alongside. Thanks for being here. Drew Lisofsky is with us as we kind of go back over our tracks from yesterday. Drew, sixth-generation Montanan, University of Montana, where he earned a bachelor's in education. And then he and his wife, Emmy, they travel Montana frequently, but Drew was a principal at Apex Consulting, a political and grassroots consulting firm. As he's worked, I see here under two administrations, U.S. Department of Education and U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and then also some time in Nevada, Drew. What do you make of that race? Right now, it's the Senate's too close to call. The governorship may go to the GOP as well.
Well, the problem we see in Nevada is you have the two population centers, which is Washoe County, which is up in the north part, which is Reno, and then you have Clark County, which is Las Vegas. And in between, you have 15 rural counties that tend to vote Republican. The problem we're seeing there is we had a terrible snowstorm and weather events up there, and the Secretary of State is having issues getting those tallies in. But on top of that, underestimate the former Senator Harry Reid political machine, which has its grasp on the apparatus of when and how and where those ballots are collected and counted. So the Republicans do have a steep climb, but they have made tremendous inroads there. And I think Laxalt is within striking distance of winning that race, but time will tell.
Yeah, yep. Still very curious. I mean, that would be a flip if it does fall.
That
red.
Would be a flip.
Yeah. Let me give some of these out here, just in case people haven't gotten all up to speed. A couple of constitutional amendments. Number 48, that's the one that essentially strengthens privacy rights when it comes to digital communications, passed wildly, 82% to 18% in favor of that in Montana. The one that was controversial, LR 131, or at least some would say possibly controversial, which was the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. That looks like that might fall. We have 69.2% of the precincts reporting, and it's down by, looks like, 4 points in that, 48% to 52%. Again, as we have talked about, one more race. It looks like, I think James Brown has conceded, sent an email out that U.S. Supreme Court seat to Ingrid Gustafson is Gustafson. Let me look it up here. I think that was a 52-48 kind of scenario as well. 46-54 at this point. Again, still some precincts to count. That's an update there. Drew, kind of want to, when you talk about messaging, I want to play this. This is Ron DeSantis. This was his election speech, his victory speech last night. And then I'm not going to play all of it. It's long, but here's how he starts it off. And then he gets right into the messaging here. So, again, here is Florida reelected Governor Ron DeSantis.
You know, over these past 4 years, we've seen major challenges for the people of our state, for the citizens of the United States, and above all, for the cause of freedom. We saw freedom in our very way of life in so many other jurisdictions in this country wither on the vine. Florida held the line. We chose facts over fear. We chose education over indoctrination. We chose law and order over rioting and disorder. Florida was a refuge of sanity when the world went mad. We stood as a citadel of freedom for people across this country and indeed across the world. We faced attacks. We took the hits. We weathered the storms. But we stood our ground. We did not back down. We had the conviction to guide us, and we had the courage to lead. We made promises.
All right, there. Thank you. Sorry. Trying to get that cut right there. But that was Ron DeSantis again. And Drew, you know, when you talk about that, when you talk about messaging, he really put it together. We stood against law. We were for law and order. We stood against disorder. We stood against fear and indoctrination. Is that the kind of messaging you're talking about that's pretty clear to people?
Absolutely, because in first off, how Reagan-esque was that speech?
Yeah.
you can see him standing at the convention accepting the nomination for the Republican nomination for President of the United States. You could see that in him last night. But more importantly to your point here, Tom, is the people of Florida, when he said these things, they resonated, because when they look out their window, when they go to the gas station, when they try to drive across the bridge that was knocked down by the hurricane, they see the results. They actually see that he does what he says he's going to do, or he dies trying to do it. And that's the platitudes that we're seeing with a lot of these candidates. They're just not giving us the specifics. How are you going to reduce inflation? How are you going to prevent, pornographic type of material being put into our school system? How are you going to do X, Y, and Z? And we just didn't see that with a lot of the candidates. With DeSantis, we saw it. And that's the kind of message that needs to come back home to Montana. People need to see and hear their politicians and their elected officials, that they say what they're going to do and do what you say you're going to do. They want to see those results. This election was about accountability and fear. The unknown. People were just not quite yet willing to hand the powers over to Republican majorities in the House and the Senate, because the messaging was just not resonating.
Well, and also, I think some of the candidates, and that's, I guess that's connected, you saw and this has been proven, Ohio was a case. I mean, there's cases all over where the Democratic National Committees threw money behind GOP candidates that they thought were very beatable. Some of those candidates won. You go to that Pennsylvania race where you've got former Lieutenant Governor Fetterman, who suffered a heart attack and honestly cannot, if you look at it, he cannot function in the Senate where he's at right now. Trump put his weight and maybe a little bit of money. He's still sitting on, by the way, $100 million. And he did not engage that war chest in this election. I think that's sort of telling as well.
We see a living example right here, Tom. We see a living example in District 1 and District 2. We have John Lamb running as an independent, stripping 4 percentage points away from, say, Ryan Zinke. Most independent voters would support many of the policies more with Republicans more so than the Democrats. Look at Matt Rosendale. He had 3 candidates running against him. Why? that was done so that it would strip his support and bleed him, because he is being set up and it appears like he could be a logical candidate to challenge Senator Tester. So we got to get the party apparatus within the state. They have to look at these folks like Sam and Gary and go and talk to them and find out, what is it that our messaging is not getting to you? What is it not resonating? How can we better include you in the Republican big tent? What is that? And so that's the kind of messaging, as Adam talked about grassroots, and we talked about it a bit yesterday, is what is your neighbor saying? Are you talking to the people at church? When you go to the coffee shop, are you saying, hey, this is how I'm feeling. How are you feeling? I can't pay enough money for advertising to convince people necessarily to vote one way. People break and vote a certain way because the messaging and the people around them are demonstrating that they should go with the winning position. And so all of that has to be redone. The polling system has to be redone. I think this is an amazing opportunity to retool and to really take a hard look what the next 2 years is going to be like, Tom. And our best days are not behind us. They're still in front of us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I believe it too. I'm not going to say, I can get down about things because I'm emotional, but I'm not disturbed about this. I like that we have an election process. I know there are some goof ups in scattered places, but there was a lot more engagement on the election security side of things. So I'm glad that moved forward. Here's one thing. I want to get your thoughts on who might be the next Speaker of the House. Does that get messy? I think the next presidential election gets messy because Trump is going to be Trump. But here's what Rand Paul said on his reelection. When I return to the Senate, Rand Paul, GOP Kentucky senator, as chairman, I promise you this, if he gets that chairmanship, the COVID cover-up will end. I will subpoena every last document of Dr. Fauci. Congress has not held one hearing to investigate the origins of COVID. That plays into this next 2 years as well in terms of, you know, do the Republicans follow suit and investigate? I think that there's accountability that needs to happen in a lot of those places. But that also kind of clouds and muddies up the water a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And you will see when the Republicans win the House majority, which they're projected to do, that you will see that kind of oversight going in and truth being told about the origins of COVID and the effects that COVID had on our school system and our children and moms and dads and the small businesses and your advertisers. We're going to see that. Did the government help or did they hurt? And that's the kind of accountability people want to see. The constant destruction of Donald Trump by the Congress and undermining him and coming in and constantly painting him as a boogeyman, people want to move on from that. And I think that's what we're seeing here. But Mitch McConnell, if he becomes the next majority leader, I predict he'll be there a year and he will retire and we'll have a new majority leader within the Senate. But McConnell is the most calculating senator I believe we have had since probably Senator Reid left. And he knows how to play inside baseball. Nobody should count him out. And he has a goal, and that goal is that he wants to be majority leader one more time. Within the House, it seems squishy. People are saying Kevin McCarthy is not the horse I want to bet on, but it's the only horse I can. He is not necessarily demonstrating enough backbone to a lot of the Republicans. And so he's going to have problems, Tom, with the Freedom Caucus, who are going to say, hey, we are done with these $1 trillion spending bills. We want accountability in the monies that are going to the Ukraine war. We want accountability within this, the entitlement programs. And if Republicans want to pass Republican bills, unfortunately, they're most likely going to have to do it with Democratic help. And so it's going to water down the effectiveness potentially of McCarthy as Speaker.
I got about a minute here, then I'll let you go. I want to ask this question, Drew, and we'll circle back on things too. Drew Lisovsky, again, it's Apex Consulting. Grassroots. It seems like there's been a lot more grassroots activity, and the kind of grassroots that I like, I think, defines what grassroots is. You've been a part of that movement. They worked very hard. How does this election then affect the grassroots organizations going forward?
People have to make it a point to connect with voters, and you can't just do it with ads, telephone, radio, and a newspaper. You have to go out there and press the flesh. You have to. And you also have to close your mouth and open your ears and listen to what voters are saying.
Thank you, Drew. I appreciate that. Yeah. Are you going to take a little time off, or you're getting back in the fight real quick?
Back in the fight. But the most important issue here, Tom, is I don't want to see you and Adam at our No Tell 'em Creek when I come back there and fishing, okay? Just you and I know that spot.
Well, we will leave no trace. How's that?
Perfect. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I do look forward to getting with you up here, and no matter where it is, it'll be good. Let's go out and do some fishing. That sounds good.
We'll do it.
Yeah. Drew, thank you so much. Take a quick break and come on back and talk about tomorrow's show, and then also Friday. Big, very special Veterans Day program, too. From Montana, for Montana, it's Voices of Montana.
Your Montana electric cooperatives have some tips for hunters. Those round ceramic devices on power poles are not good to eat and not legal game, so please don't shoot them. Also, doves and grouse are both legal birds that perch on power lines, but it's illegal to shoot them there. Drop a hot wire and you could be a cooked goose. Hunt, have fun, but above all, be safe. A message from your Montana electric cooperatives. They do more than just keep the lights on for you.
As we pay tribute to our nation's heroes during Veterans Month, a special program Friday, and also we'll talk with veteran John Olson tomorrow. AARP Montana wants to thank all those in uniform for their service and sacrifice, and salute the nonprofit organizations. Their mission is to serve those who have served our great country. None better. Today, AARP wants to recognize K9 Care Montana, which is out of Livingston. K9 Care is devoted to providing the highest quality service dogs at no cost to our wounded veterans and first responders and children challenged by autism. Oh, always work to be done, and thank you for doing the important work. For more information on veterans resources, visit aarp.org/mtvets. My thanks to Cody Ross, our in-studio engineer. Tomorrow, looks like we'll have newly reelected Congressman Matt Rosendale on, as well as John Olson. Guys, have a great day. Thanks for getting out there and voting, y'all.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.